Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 2 of Shooting the Breeze, where we talk out of our brass. This episode brought to you by 1911 Haters of America.
And we Glock, like Glock fanboys of Canada.
Okay, I'm leaving.
Oliver's out.
You can't leave. You moaned and groaned and begged us, sent 3 letters, registered mail, requesting that we record at a time that would suit your busy lifestyle and schedule.
Wow, so just gonna this, have to. This, I'm not remembering any of this conversation. I told you I was out until I was too sick to go to the gym tonight. So I said, okay, I'm around.
It's not uncommon for someone your age to start to have subtle memory loss from time to time, Brian.
So, I'm always too sick to go to the gym.
What? Was that again?
I said I'm always too sick to go to the gym.
So, in case you guys haven't figured out, you got the usual suspects here. We got Brian Bolivar from Canadian Service Conditioned Radio, and Owen, the Warrior / LARPer from the Warriors Ethos podcast. Matt, I'm a warning shot McClatchy, and the Fur Latte.
Gentlemen, latte.
What are we going to talk about tonight, guys?
I don't know. What about like magazines, like stuff that you
I don't
can
read, Matthew.
Like stuff you can read on the toilet. You
heard love like gun magazines.
Guns and ammo. That's a good one.
Yeah. How about magazines and ammo, and how much those magazines can hold of said ammo?
Hey, how about Caliber magazine? You guys seen that yet?
No. Love it.
You guys should check it out if you haven't seen it. Caliber magazine is Canada's first pro gun kind of magazine. That's I don't know something.
It's not the first firearms related.
No, but it's like
in Canada, it's the first like all firearms only. I would say. We're totally making this up. We really don't know.
Yeah, there is the NFA magazine.
Yeah, right. But that's like a political kind of thing where this is just about guns.
Oh,
it's not a hunting mag. It's not a hunting fishing. It's not it's just guns.
Okay.
Articles reviewed.
I wouldn't know. I haven't seen it yet.
So. Oh, okay. We'll check it out if you get a chance.
Again, mostly talking.
I keep asking, but my gun shop says, no, we don't have any. I think they just keep all the copies for themselves.
Right. Happens.
Yeah.
Well, I've got one. So, Owen, if you haven't seen it, I can bring it down. You can check it out if you want.
I saw the first.
That's the one I got.
Yeah, I saw the first one. I think it came free with a Canada ammo order.
That sounds
yes,
about right.
That's right. So, yep.
But I haven't seen the second.
I got one directly from Caliber, then I got one from Canada Ammo. Where did I get the second one? I think I picked the second one up in Calgary at the gun show.
So you're talking about 3 and you went to the second or something. I don't know.
I have 3 copies, but 2 of them are the same issue.
Oh, that's cool. So you have one that I haven't seen yet, so you should bring that.
That'd be the
tomorrow.
Second one, yeah.
Yeah, why don't you bring that tomorrow and I can read it while I'm trying to teach.
Speaking of bringing things tomorrow, am I bringing my Glock 17? Are you going to shoot the match with it?
Either yours or Owen's. I don't care.
Well, Owen's probably going to want to use his own.
All right. Well, why don't you bring yours, and I'll have 2 to choose from.
We have an issue as far as belts and holsters go. You'll have to use your Uncle Mike's.
I'll just jam it into my SR9 holster. It'll be fine.
It can take it.
I don't know if my holster can. Yeah, I'll bring my Uncle Mike's for that, just that way I have something to draw from.
And if nothing else, I mean, in emergency, we could run out after the classroom and build one.
That's true. Owen can build holsters out of Kydex.
Nice.
He's our very own Jason Christensen, except his holsters are
he is
not
kind of a
made.
Renaissance man.
Yeah, not made. Well, yeah. I bet you him and Jason would get along pretty good.
They would.
You have a chin beard. You need a chin beard is what you need, Owen.
No. Yeah, and Jason does his own honey, man.
You hold him down, Trev, and I'll shave, and then he'll have a chin beard.
Brian, are you
both
busy?
We'll die.
You guys go ahead. I'll run the camera. Yeah. And Owen, I won't release the video for evidence against you. They just fell down. That's all.
That's all
multiple times.
We all saw it. Officer, the boy slipped.
Yeah.
So
all right,
guys,
well, we do actually have a topic, eh, Trev? We're going to talk about mag capacities in Canada because we get questions. Well, and I don't mean this show because this show has only been around for, 1 week? So we don't have any questions about this yet, but as hosts of CRR and then just as gun enthusiasts in general, I get asked all the time, how are you running 10 rounds in that AR? Or how are you running 25 shots in that Ruger 10/22?
Yeah. Or, you know? Yeah, I thought I was only allowed to have 3 rounds in my pump action shotgun.
Yeah, that's another one we didn't really even discuss. Bolt action. But
yeah, it's all here. So kind of what prompted this actually, Matthew, was I got a question from Radio Velocité. They were dealing with a Breton 92 versus 96 thing.
Uh-huh.
And they were going to transport one upper to the range to put on the lower of the other gun. And they were asking me, you know, which part was considered the firearm and all that stuff. And then about the whole legality of putting, I think it's 12 rounds of 9mm into a Beretta 96 magazine.
Yeah, that's the 40 caliber one. So, yeah you can fit. Some say 13, some say 12. It depends on the mag, I guess. Yeah. But
so I thought what we would do, the best place to go for this information is the source. And that's RCMP Special Bulletin for Businesses, number 72, and that can be found on their website. So what I've done is I've copied and pasted it to the notes here that you guys can all see. And we're
and Trevor's now going to read it. So if you guys want to fast forward for half an hour.
Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, there was a magazine. And so we'll go through a little bit of the, we'll do the highlights, right? So how about I read what it actually says, parts of it, the important parts, and then maybe you guys can interpret it in everyday range talk, range speak, gun speak for the listeners.
All right. Well, let's see how this goes.
All right. So background, the maximum capacity of a cartridge magazine is set out in part 4 of the regulations prescribing certain firearms and other weapons, components, and parts of weapons, accessories. See, it's already getting too academic. So,
and that's the title of a thing.
Right.
Part 4 of da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Holy cow, how do you figure this out?
Well, here's a term we need to be familiar with, and that's prohibited device.
Yeah.
So a very quick example of a prohibited device, gentlemen, would be?
Well, a fist.
They're licensed.
A pistol magazine that holds more than 10 rounds.
Well, there you go. That would be a prohibited device.
Right. Not necessarily, Bulver.
That's true. It's a pistol magazine that holds more than 10 rounds for it, which it was originally designed.
Yes. Exactly, Matthew. Correct. So, a prohibited device and a magazine that has a capacity which exceeds the maximum permitted capacity is a prohibited device. I'll say that again. A magazine that has a capacity which exceeds the maximum permitted capacity, in other words, permitted by Canadian law, is a prohibited device. So yeah. Let's say I had a Glock 22 magazine that would hold 15 rounds.
15 rounds of 40. Now, let's clarify, perfect. Glock 22 mag is a 40 caliber magazine. Yes. Just so the listeners know, yeah.
Good call, yeah.
So, if it holds even 11 rounds, that's an illegal device, a prohibited device, and if you get caught with it, bye-bye.
Right. So, how do we make that magazine legal? We limit the capacity to 10 rounds by inserting either a plug or a pop rivet.
Right.
Okay. These magazine regulations have been enforced since 1993. But, of course...
Just think, back when I first got my PIL, it was 3 years after all this came into effect.
Wow.
That's horrible.
That is. You just missed the boat, right?
Just missed the boat. So, I could have been out there with max capacity revolvers. No, I don't know.
I mean, you guys know because we're all not relatively new. I mean, we've all been around firearms for a long time, but as far as being as active as we are in the community, let's say in the culture and in dealing with different types of firearms and different types of equipment, we've seen, I'm not going to use the term loopholes, but we've seen product come onto the market that has made, excuse me, I have a cat clawing me. Get out of here.
Bolivar, leave him alone. Jeez.
It's a cat, not a cougar.
Oh. Wow. Kitty wants some candy.
Yeah, you guys are not the kind of candy that this cougar's after. Sorry.
Bolivar, are you a DILF?
Let's move on. Quick, back to the magazines. So,
what are some of the things that are on the market right now that cause confusion, guys?
LAR magazine. That's the top number one, I think.
Okay, and I think the next thing is magazines that will fit in two different firearms.
I think another one is a Butler Creek 25-round mag for a 10/22.
We have that example coming up pretty much here. So current issues, I'll read this and then you guys can beat it around a little bit.
All right.
Current issue number one, magazines designed or manufactured for both rimfire caliber rifles and rimfire handguns. So what are they talking about? What's an example of that?
So here you go. Talk about the Ruger, what is it? BX, BX-25. The Ruger BX-25 is a 25-round banana clip, if you will. It fits in a Ruger 10/22.
But it also
fits the Ruger Charger, which is the 10/22 pistol version. And because it's marketed for both the Charger and the 10/22, it is considered a handgun magazine and therefore restricted to 10 rounds because all handgun magazines in Canada are restricted to 10 rounds for the caliber for which they're designed.
And the key to focus in on what Matthew just said is it is specifically designed and marketed for both the rifle and the pistol. And the last line in this paragraph says, magazines designed or manufactured for use in both rifles and semi-automatic handguns are subject to the handgun limit of 10.
That's right.
Another example would be the Smith & Wesson M&P 15/22 rifle and the 15/22 pistol, chambered in 22 long rifle.
That was a cool rifle.
Yeah.
It's too bad that because they came out with the pistol version, we didn't get the mags for them.
Yep. The 10-round mag would be considered unregulated, and the 25-round mag would be considered a prohibited device because it will fit in the pistol.
Yeah.
All right, next issue. Magazines designed or manufactured for both centerfire caliber rifles and handguns.
Give us an example, Bolivar.
I'm going to say the LA Air Mag.
Yep. Nailed it.
Which is, the LA Air Mag is specifically designed for the Rock River LAR AR-15 pistol, correct?
That's right.
Correct.
Right. Which has been deemed to be a pistol magazine by the RCMP in Canada. As such, it's allowed to hold 10 rounds. It also fits inside an AR-15 rifle magazine well.
Right. Now, that's actually not exactly...
Yeah, we're coming to that number four. You're close, Bolivar. See,
okay, cool.
This is a case where magazines designed or manufactured for use in both semi-automatic rifles and semi-automatic handguns are subject to the 5-round limit. Okay?
So right, because just it's like the rim of the fire, two. Yeah.
That's right. Just like the rimfire, if the magazine can go in both a semi-automatic pistol and a rifle, it's subject to the pistol limit of 10.
Now, fortunately, we don't see this very often. They have an example of the High Point rifle and handgun that are both chambered in 9mm. But that's a very rare occurrence where the magazine is designed specifically for a rifle and a handgun, and where it's limited to 5. So that one, really, I don't think you need to worry about that one.
That's right. Now, see, I was confused about this one, but the rifle, the magazine that goes in the High Point, even though the High Point's a 9mm pistol carbine, it's specific to the High Point.
Yeah.
Now, the other side, or a similar situation to this, is the Sub 2000. It'll take Beretta mags, Sig mags, and Glock mags.
That's right. So, if they had designed a magazine for that gun...
Boom, 5 rounds.
Those magazines designed for that gun would be limited to 5 rounds. You would still be able to use Glock mags and Beretta mags designed for pistols in that gun because they fit. Yep. But if they shipped those Sub 2000 with mags in Canada, they'd have to be limited to 5.
Yep.
Because it's a rifle.
And so that's why it doesn't apply. That's right, because it takes a pistol mag and pistols are limited to 10. So that's why you can legally walk around in the woods with that non-restricted firearm with 10 rounds on it and be perfectly fine.
Next. I think before we go too far, let's just point out here that if you keep what I'm about to say next in mind, it clarifies a lot of stuff. A magazine is what is restricted. It's not the gun. The magazine designed for a pistol is restricted to 10 rounds. The magazine designed for the rifle is just restricted to 5. It has nothing to do with the rifle or the pistol itself. It has everything to do with the magazine.
Right.
So if you can separate the difference between a magazine and the firearm, which, everybody can, that will hopefully help make some of this a bit clearer.
Yeah, think about it in terms of an AR magazine is designed to fit nothing else but an AR. So it's going to be limited to 5.
Yep.
Proprietary, right? Just yep. like, and we'll talk about shotguns later. Well, shotguns, it would apply to shotguns as well. A semi-automatic shotgun is a semi-automatic center fire firearm. They don't distinguish between center fire rifles and center fire shotguns. If it's semi-automatic and it's center fire, the proprietary magazine for that firearm is restricted to 5. So although you can remove the plug for your pump action shotgun and put an extension on it, you can't do that on a semi-automatic shotgun. And that's one we run into on the IPSC ranges a lot. They want to buy a semi-automatic 12-gauge and extend the capacity and say, oh, this is going to be a great IPSC gun. You tell them, no, you can't because it's a semi-auto. They say, yes, but it's a semi-auto shotgun. Mm. Go look at the
Act. It doesn't say anything shotgun. Between. No, it's centerfire firearm. So
The next issue is magazines designed or manufactured for both centerfire caliber semi-automatic rifles and other non-semi-automatic rifles.
So like the Remington 7615. Exactly. I know Jason Gallen has one of those.
Yeah, that's exactly the example they give. So the Remington 7615 is what, guys? What kind of gun is it?
Anybody else know?
It's one of those weird pump action rifles.
You got it.
Yeah, it looks like it looks like a Remington 870, but it shoots 2-3.
Yeah,
and it shoots them from
an AR
magazine. So just because that's a non-semi-automatic firearm, it's a pump action. Technically, the magazines for that would not be, you know, in a normal sense, they would not be restricted to the 5-round limit because it's not a semi. But because it uses magazines from a semi-automatic rifle, they have to be pinned to 5, even though you're using them in a different rifle.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of the LAR rule.
Yeah.
And there's a subtle distinction, too, because it is that rifle is marketed as accepting AR-15 magazines.
That's right. If they had come out with their own mag, and even if an AR mag fit in it, if they had come out with their own mag, the mags that they shipped with that gun would not be considered an AR mag, and it would be perfectly legal to have 30-round mags for that.
Yep. Since it's manufactured and marketed in the U.S., they're not really concerned about that, right?
But right.
If that's said right. firearm had been created in Canada, it would have been, you know, we could have made a magazine for it that was the same dimensions as an AR mag, but not an AR mag, 7615 mag. So it's restricted to what then, gentlemen?
5.
5, yeah.
Yep.
Number 4, magazines designed for one firearm but used in a different firearm.
This is where the LAR mags come in.
Exactly.
Because the LAR mags are designed for a pistol, like Brian said earlier, but we're using them in a rifle. Yep. Again, it doesn't matter. You can use a pistol magazine in a rifle if it'll fit. The rifle's not limited to 5 rounds. The magazine is. And because it's a pistol mag, 10 rounds, sir.
They give another really obscure example here. Has anyone ever heard of the Marlin 45 Camp Carbine?
Yes.
I've
heard of it. It's semi-automatic. As I recall, it's a semi-automatic rifle that shoots 45 ACP.
Yeah, out of a 1911 mag.
Yeah.
Oliver, you're right up your alley, man. You should get one of these.
You know what? I would actually really like to have one. It would be kind of neat.
So if your listeners have any of these just laying around, you're collecting dust, you don't need it anymore, just send it to Bolivar. He'd really appreciate
that. Yeah, that's right, because I have no money to buy it. So, yeah, it'll be totally a donation.
Just pop it over to him.
Brian needs a Camp Carbine charity donation.
It doesn't work when you try and start it. It only works when one of the other hosts try and start it for you.
I just tried to start it for him.
I know, and he ruined it.
Cool as Matt, so it doesn't work for me.
No one is as cool as Matt Bolivar.
That's because I need to put a sweater on. It's cold in here.
So they say, talking again about the Marlin using the 1911 mag, it says, therefore, 7-round and 8-round capacities are permitted. A similar example is the 10-round capacity magazine for the Rock River Arms LAR-15 pistol, regardless of the kind of firearm it's actually used in.
And now remember, this is coming directly from the RCMP, so this is good information.
Yes, sir. Issue number 5, and the last issue. Magazines for semi-automatic handguns, which contain more than 10 rounds of a different caliber. And this brings us to the example of the Beretta 96 being a 40 caliber mag, holding multiple or more than 10 rounds of 9mm and going into the Beretta 92, or the Glock 22 versus Glock 17. So the Glock 40 being 40 caliber, pinned to 10, holding more than 10 rounds of 9mm being shot in a Glock 17.
That's right. We've actually done that before. You've done that with your you put the conversion kit in your 22, right?
No, what did you put that in? Glock 35.
In your Glock, your Glock 35. Then you put 40 cal
mags in it.
Mags in it with full of 9mm. How many did you fit in? Was it 11 or 12?
Some of them you could get to 12, but most were 11.
Yeah. Well, it's still one up. I mean, plus one power, right? How does that go? Plus one.
Plus one, would that be plus one stamina? Because you're in the fight longer?
Yeah, plus one stamina. That's what
Owen,
it is.
Owen, you're Owen,
let us know. What is it?
What is that? He must be gone. He got so bored, he left.
Guys, look, it goes to 11.
It goes to 11.
It's one better than 10.
This magazine goes to 11.
That's awesome. Nice reference, Brian.
Thank you.
Excellent.
Yep. So that's cool.
Yeah, so that is legal, guys, because it's not what it can hold. It's what it's supposed to hold that it's limited to.
That's right. It's what it's designed for.
So what kind of rifle magazines can we do this with? Now that we have so many different calibers of AR that are in the AR magazine.
Well, the first one pops to mind is the one that's been like going crazy on Gun Nuts is the 50 Beowulf.
Yeah.
You can a 5-round 50 Beowulf will hold what? Something like 15 or 16 rounds of 223?
I'm not sure, but there's a really neat video on YouTube of a guy with a Tavor in the woods shooting a Beowulf filled with 5.56.
Yeah.
I want to applaud that man.
I think I saw that. One of them he had 13 in and the other one he had 15 in, so I counted. But yeah, I mean, that's you know, 3 to 5 more than 10 that you're allowed in the LAR mag.
And he explained all of this in half the time.
Yeah.
And shot a gun while doing it. He's cool.
The other one is the LAR 15 mag for the pistol. That's chambered for 7.62 by 3.9. I believe you can fit 11 or 12 223s in there. Or is it even more than that? I think it's 13, actually. I think it's 13. You can fit 13 223s in a pistol mag for the chambered in 7.62 by 39. It's basically an LAR mag, but it's you know, for the AK round.
So this magazine goes to 13.
Yep. So
isn't there reliability issues with those because of the
feed lips are angled different, I think, aren't they?
In my Glock mag, some of them, you'll get 2 or 3 bullets spewed out the top.
When they call that a volcano, I think, don't they?
Yeah, something like that. So if you want to tune your lips, you know, you might get a better feeding reliability. But
so, Trevor, is this more of your experiments in how to make the ultra reliable Glock really not very reliable?
He's good at that, isn't he?
Ask Andy about that.
I was listening to one of your previous shows about your springs, and you've got to change them out every year. And
I don't have to. I choose to.
It just seems like
because if he doesn't choose to, they break.
It seems like it's more maintenance than I need to do on my 1911. I'm not seeing it. I don't know.
Well, the difference here is that Trevor's putting in aftermarket springs.
Not Glock springs.
The Glock springs work just fine. It's just he's putting in the weaker ones to get better trigger pulls and whatnot.
Your 1911 is not tuned to the eyeballs like my Glock is either. There's nothing left I can do to it to tweak it, right? So when you start tweaking things, you're going to get some performance, but you're going to lose some reliability. There's a balance there when you start over-tweaking a gun.
Thank you. Thank you for stating that. I'm going to use that again later.
That tweaking. Oh, okay. Yeah, cool. Well, I look forward to it. Is it going to be on this show or another one?
I don't know. Sometime the opportunity will hit me and I will use it.
Store that little nugget in the back of his brain. Take it out later.
Well, I don't think it's a real stretch to kind of understand that... you know, you start tweaking anything, and it's going to become less reliable, I would say.
Dragsters. How many races do they get out of an engine? One. Then they rebuild it.
Yep.
No, same idea. Like, and Andy said it once. He said,
it's just that they're not breaking stuff,
you're not going fast enough.
It's just that whenever they do dragsters, like, they don't make those out of Honda Civics, kind of like, you know, Trevor trying to get a Ferrari out of his Glock.
Whoa.
Just teasing.
Matthew, it's a very good point. I made a very, I believe it to be a very interesting video of a comparison and contrast of the Glock 35, the Tenfoglio Limited Custom, and the STI Edge.
Right.
one gun is marketed as being a competition gun or a carry gun for like SWAT members. They call it the practical tactical. Mm-hmm. And the other two guns are definitely marketed to be high-end, pre-tuned IPSC guns right out of the box. And, yeah, trying to turn the Glock 35 into one of those guns, it's not lipstick on a pig, but it's close, right?
Right, yeah.
You spend, I did the math here before doing the video, and the Glock is $850, and you spend an additional $700 to $750 in aftermarket parts.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I went on to GlockWorks.com, where I get all my Zev stuff, and I just processed an order like as if I was placing it. I selected all the items from their website that's on my gun, with the exception of the fiber optic sight, because that came from another place. And that was the number I arrived at. After I added the sight, I came to about $750. So that still brings you in under the cost of a new Tanfoglio, which then you're going to spend $200 to work on the trigger, because I don't know anybody who's got a Tanfoglio who hasn't replaced the trigger yet. In this area, anyway, I'm sure there are other people out there, but all the guys in this area that have Tanfoglios have worked on the trigger and spent $200 to do it. You don't spend $200 to fix a trigger on a Glock. That's not true. You can actually spend up to $250 to go with the highest end possible Glock trigger.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to. But
yeah, tell us about your Glock, Owen.
Yeah, I have a stock Glock.
And how does it work?
You also shoot production.
So?
So it's a different game, right?
Well, yeah, of course it is.
I wouldn't shoot it any different. I don't have an issue with. I don't see how messing around with my trigger would help me to shoot any better. I can see adding a magwell or adding something to make the gun heavier, but to mess with the trigger, I don't see how that effect would affect my shooting.
A lighter trigger pull will increase your accuracy. Any pro shooter will tell you that. It'll also speed up your double taps.
Yep, that's true. That's true. That's what the pros will tell you. Is what I'm saying.
But Owen, if you're morally opposed to that, that's fine.
I'm not morally opposed to it.
People still will love you with your regular trigger.
Well, see, here's the reason why I shoot production and not standard or open is because, see, I'm poor, so I can't afford to put another $800 into my gun once I buy the gun. So, yeah. That's the nice thing about IPSC is you can go into it on a shoestring budget. I went in, I bought all of my gear, and this did not include my Black Badge course, but it included all of my gear, my belt, my holster, my gun, all the mags I needed, all the mag pouches, all the accoutrements for that, and it was $1,050, everything.
Yeah,
anybody can afford $1,000 if you save up for a year and you can get into IPSC. And the cool thing is, none of this stuff wears out. I mean, you might wear out a couple of springs here and there if you shoot, tens of thousands of rounds to your pistol, but you're not going to wear out your holster. You're not going to wear out your belt. I mean, you might outgrow your belt, but
easy.
That's a different issue.
No, you're right, Matthew. My initial setup, range bag, 5 or 6 mags, belt, Sierra Speed holster, Sierra Speed mag pouches.
You don't need to list it all. How much was it?
And the gun, like you said, everything I needed was $1,100.
Yeah. So what's it cost to get into service? And this isn't me being glib. I'm just curious. How much does it cost, Brian, to get geared up for service conditions?
Okay, so you need an AR. Assuming you're going to go with a Norc, so you're into $700 there. Shoot it with the irons it comes with, so no more expense. You need...
Now, hold on. Sorry, just to interrupt real quick. Can you shoot service conditions with your irons and be competitive?
Yeah. CQB, you can. Service rifle, it gets pretty tough because the standard is optics. So, right. Okay, so you're going to put an optic on a rifle. You're going to spend about
$100.
Say $400 on a, mid-range optic. So that's 11. And then you need magazines. For CQB, you need 5, so call it a half a dozen. And I'm going to use pre-insanity prices, so that's about $120. And for SR, you need some LAR mags, or you should have, or you need the double the number of P mags, so $240. So I've lost track of my math.
you're pushing 1500. Yeah, you're
1500 bucks.
$1,500, but you're all said and done once you have a way to carry those mags and all that sort of
stuff. Yeah, you need a vest or something. So $75, say, for a cheap vest, and yeah, you're good.
And you got to have a cool scarf like Bolivar. That's
you don't have to. I have an aversion to skin cancer, so I wear a scarf. That's about it.
Oh, is that the cure? I wondered.
Well, that's why I do it. It's not to make me look even more tactical. It's
And you're not pasty white like Brian is. I mean, he's kind of susceptible to it. If you're a conquistador, you're very pale.
Yeah, I know. I'm Spanish in name only.
Aren't your people more, you know, mulatto or something?
Honestly, Trevor, my family came across so long ago that we forgot where we came from, so we're just plain Canadians. That's all. And all the records burned in a church in the 1800s. So
plain white, pasty Canadians.
We are munja cakes. That's it.
Oh, my goodness. Dude. Awesome. Well, this racism brought to you by Shooting the Breeze.
It's not racism.
If you're making fun of yourself, I guess it's not.
Yeah, what if I'm making fun of him? Then is it?
Well, yeah. Then,
no, that's
then,
just normal.
Yeah, that's just par for the course is what that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. All right. Well, I hope all you listeners are extra confused about magazine laws now.
Guys, I have a question.
Yeah. And Trevor had a question for us, too.
I did?
You said you were going to ask the question and see if we could figure it out.
Trevor forgot his question, so it's my turn.
Yeah, go.
There was a news article in the local paper. There was some a Canadian Forces member who was doing very bad things with marketing guns illegally, blah, blah, blah. And a couple of the things that the newspaper stated his problem was, he had overcapacity magazines and the firearms were equipped with switches that would increase the magazine capacity.
Really? Where do I get these switches?
I'm like, okay, like I'm really scratching my head. What the heck is an overcapacity magazine?
Well, clearly it's one that not pinned to 5 or 10.
Or
well,
could it
or is
be
it
like
one that's there's just rounds spilling over the top? I can't.
Oh, it's all over. It's filled the capacity and then it's spewed.
She's full up.
It could be a mag that has an extension put on it, like the Glock extended mags that you can get, the mag pads that are extended, plus two, maybe plus three. And the switch, you said there was a switch or something?
Yeah,
they said it was a switch to increase the mag capacity.
Well, yeah. That could be a poor way of describing a magazine that wasn't, in fact, pinned, but had a plug put in it that you could remove by removing the base plate.
Or it could have been a really poor explanation of how full auto works.
Yeah, well,
now they were also talking about that and auto selectors and other bad things, but anyway.
Maybe it's like weird. The shoulder thing that goes up. They ain't got a clue.
I'm thinking that's more of it, what it was. More yeah. Anti-gun propaganda.
What are promoted barrel by shrouds and
the Ontario Police, the Ontario Provincial Police. So interesting.
Very good. Okay. Well, here's the thing. We haven't even given out an email address yet, but we've got an email to the show already. So we asked the listeners last week what they like to shoot for targets.
Yeah, and we got one from Bolivar, and we didn't even cover it because he just.
And we got
from
one
show.
From Filthy.
Did we?
Yeah.
Nice. We're gonna read that now.
Sure. He writes, "It's me."
Where did he send it?
To me. So he printed off Filthy.
That's right.
He prints posters and whatnot. And he printed off a life-size image of himself and brought it to the range and shot it up.
Nice.
So that's awesome. I don't know if I'm creeped out by that or not. I think I'm a little creeped out by that.
I don't know. I think maybe I'll paste it on Facebook because, you know, why not?
Yeah. Friend of the show that's, status right away.
That's just self-deprecating humor, that's all.
Right, and what about you, Brian? What did you write in and say that was cool for targets to shoot?
He's an Owen believer.
Oh, no way. Move on.
Boring.
Yeah, I tend to shoot paper.
At least paper mache?
Yeah, but you went on the whole rant about it's about the process, not about blowing something up.
Well, no. I'm just saying that's what works for me. I mean... It's
there, see, there's the key. I like that. It's what works for him. He's not telling us what to do.
No, I would never do that. And we'd yeah, it's kind of neat once in a while to see stuff kind of blow apart and break up. I use the example. We had we were at the cottage and on the duck hunt, and it was a slow day, so we had one of those plastic wind-up helicopters.
Yeah, those are fun.
Yeah, well,
I'm in.
3.5-inch duck loads do a heck of a job on one of those things. But, and we cleaned up after ourselves. You know, it was our own place. So.
What was that on?
I didn't say a word.
Oh, sorry. I thought you had to start. I heard you start.
Yeah, I tend to be more like Owen. I'm more about seeing how I hit and the process more so than seeing lights and explosions at the other end.
Yeah, see, I'm all about the lights and explosions.
Yeah.
No, it's whatever.
I came to this shooting sport from a shooting sport where you had to basically hit a target the same diameter as your projectile every time. It was all about precision and accuracy and focus and technique. And so,
and while that's all good, sometimes it's fun to let loose and just shoot something like you know computer monitors.
Yeah.
Or VHS videos. I don't know.
And I'm fine with all that. I'm not going to go out of my way to do that every time I go to the range. That's
to hoard that stuff and make a special day just to shoot stuff. Yeah, no, we do.
Yeah, we do that. That's totally us. Yeah,
hey, that's fine.
Wasn't the first turnip your idea? You were there for that, wasn't?
I was not there for that.
No, Bolivar.
Oh, you're talking about Bolivar.
Yeah.
No, I think it was Muffin's idea.
Yes. Well, he definitely got after it with the 12 gauge.
I didn't get a chance because you broke my AR at that point.
Owen, are you crying yet, man?
No.
All his wasted effort and time into that beautiful turnip, and you guys just blasted it apart.
Rutabaga. Well, when they get that big, they're called rutabagas.
When they're quite smaller, what? They're politabagas?
Well done. I like that.
It's lessons learned. That's all. It's lessons
learned. Lessons learned. You're going to starve for a lot before I give you any more food.
Very good. Well, if the listeners do have any feedback for us, you can send us email at shootingthebreezeradio@gmail.com. That's all one word, all lowercase, common spelling, shootingthebreezeradio@gmail.com. So, yeah, send us in your comments, questions, queries, snide remarks, you know, all that good stuff, and we'll do our best to ignore you, and we'll carry on.
And possible topics for next show, I won't say next week's because, you know, we don't have a regular schedule yet, but Lloyd Simmons on our Facebook page would like to hear us talk about long-range shooting. He's getting into coyote hunting, and he wants some tips. So, Brian.
No problem. I shot my .22 out to 30 yards this week.
Hey, that's me.
Oh, wait. That was you. Never mind. Yeah. My bad.
Brian, you've got a bit of background in precision with the
I got a little
service
bit.
Service conditions. So, yeah.
I know enough to be dangerous.
Excellent, which is way more than I know. I know that Matthew shoots far, but I don't know if he actually knows anything about it, or he's just like a savant. He can just do things but doesn't know how he does them.
121 toothpicks, but $100. Judge Wapner's awesome. Yep, Kmart sucks.
Well, Trevor, it's kind of like, remember last fall, you got me to look at your shooting stance and technique and stuff, and you've got that same idiot savantness about you.
Thanks. Matthew, did he compliment me there, or did he call me an
idiot?
We're
going to go. We're going to go with compliment.
All right.
Woo, yeah, we're going with compliment.
Wow, idiot means something different in New Brunswick.
Oh yeah, we have other names for people we don't like. Thomas G. Donnelly wants to hear about Jewel getting her pal.
That hasn't happened yet, but I'm working on her still. Yeah, we're going to get Jewel on sometime here, too, and have a chat with her about girls and guns, I guess.
I still think we should do the wives episode. Just have the wives get on the show, and we'll just, like, disappear while they do it or something.
We can talk about that. Yeah, that's definitely an option. I like
he
that.
He wants to hear about women in the shooting sports and maybe a female shooter guest. So, you know, I mean, of all the wives, I think Amy just took her hunter safety.
She just got her pal, right? Or she's getting her pal?
Yep.
Yeah, so she's got, but Jewel shoots quite a bit and has her own gun called Ting, so, you know, either one of them could do it.
Yep.
I had Amy out shooting tonight, actually.
Put who to shame?
Yeah, I got a little steel swinging target, .22 target, and the smallest little swinger on it. She was dinging that thing one after the other.
Nice.
Maybe 40 yards.
The only time my wife shot a handgun was under Matthew's watch. I was insanely jealous, and I was like, what the hell? you finally shoot a handgun and you do it with somebody else?
Really? I don't remember this.
Yeah, when we all went to Madrid that time when they kidnapped my brother-in-law and said, oh, we're taking the shooting.
That's right. I do remember that now.
Actually, if I can add to that, it's been my observation that husbands are not very good at teaching their wives how to shoot
anything,
and wives are not very good at taking instruction from husbands. In that scenario, it's often better to have a stranger.
Yeah, I've got to tell you, Jewel took some instruction on how to shoot her her Ting rifle. Frig, she can shoot that thing.
Well, she likes you better than most people do.
That's true. Yeah, it's a good point.
Tommy of the Gun Dudes. Well, even the Gun Dudes make fun of Tommy and his wife on the range, and I was offering her some advice, and Tommy's like, take her, go teach her, because I can't. Jasmine wants us to know where we buy our gun-related products.
And the interwebs is where I get mine most, or the listeners of Canadian Reload Radio.
Yeah.
As I hold my now, this is a sneak peek, because this won't be on till next week's show, but my AR is assembled and in my hand right now.
Sweet.
So, a little sneak peek here. I'll hold it up to the mic so all the listeners can see it.
It sounds excellent.
Oh, here, you want to hear the trigger pull on it?
I do. I want to figure out the weight of the trigger pull.
Here we go. Ready? Here we go.
Ooh, that's light.
It's actually not bad. Yeah. I'm impressed. I think he may have forgotten and actually put the Geissele trigger in instead of the GI one. No, I'm kidding. Although, really, go check your trigger.
We got two more guys. Mario also wants to hear about long-range precision shooting with a side topic specifically on the .338 Lapua.
Ooh, that would be cool.
Yeah.
Who's going to buy one of those just for the show?
I still have a scar from the last time I shot one. And Kyle Marconi, that's 30-06 for the win, is it not?
Yeah, I believe it is.
And he thinks it'd be a pretty cool idea to have a new guest on each week. Well, is that a subtle hint to saying he wants to be on the show or what?
It could be. We got Brian on this week, and I've already lined up next week's guest, so...
Cool.
Yeah. Do you guys want to know who it is?
No spoilers.
All right, no spoilers. But enough. Tune in next week to find out whether or not Chris Anderson comes on the show with us or not. Oh, crap. I'm not good at this game at all, am I?
I was going to say, can we say that he is, in fact, a podcaster?
He is, in fact, a podcaster.
Perhaps of the
network.
We can
say a lot of stuff now because we know who it is.
That's funny because that's not who I thought you were going to say.
Oh, all right.
You don't share much with the rest of us, do you?
This happened basically right before the call happened.
Go from one little squirrel moment to the next.
I'm trying to do my best to be the new Trevor.
You're doing a great job. I'm like, Owen, what about this? He's like, I don't know about that. What? Matthew didn't tell you about that? No. Owen, is this done? I don't even know what that is.
I can see it's a well-oiled machine you guys have put together here.
Well, it's oiled with Slipstream.
Yeah.
Well,
it's not toast anymore.
What about Frog Lube? Isn't that the new flavor?
I don't have any. That's Trevor's stuff.
It's so tasty. It's minty good. Dude, I'm not even kidding. This is true. You can't make this stuff up. When you first soak your AR in Frog Lube and you pull the trigger, your gun smells like Frog Lube. Like, it wafts into the air. Your gun smells minty.
That's it. I'm greasing mine with bacon grease.
Aw, that'll look cute with my friggin' face stuck against your magwell going, I know that smell.
I'm getting really nervous now.
It's great. Well, now that we've freaked out everybody...
Matt, weren't we talking about a disclaimer that you were going to add in at the start of the show?
Yeah, it's not going to be at the beginning of this one, but maybe by next week we'll have a disclaimer at the beginning. But it's basically don't do anything we say, ever.
Right. Unless we say stay safe out there.
Yeah, stay safe out there. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that.
That was a segue to close the show.
Yeah, I was going to go that way, but then I didn't. So,
because I guess we're not done.
Yeah, I don't know. Do you guys have any? Owen, you were pretty quiet this show. What do you got to say, man?
I don't have much to say at all. I've just been sitting back and enjoying the banter.
See, now you don't have to listen tomorrow in the truck. You can just, I already heard this. I was there.
I don't listen anyway. So
I'm going to subject Harold to it.
Oh, that'll be fun. Hey, Harold, how's it going, man? Hey, could you turn right now, look at Trevor, and say, I love you, buddy? No, go ahead, do it. Do it right now. Come
on. If he does, yeah, I'll be arriving alone. And I will answer your first question. Harold who?
Harold, he told me he loved me. I had to put him in the ditch.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure he's going to mean it in a manly,
yeah, in a Chuck
way.
Norris sort of way.
Yeah. I'm sure he's not going to say it.
You're probably right. Just punch him for me instead, Harold. That'd be cool, too. Yeah. So, all right. Well, gentlemen, I don't know. Anybody else have anything to add before we close this thing up?
Oh, I think we've made them suffer long enough for this week.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you enjoyed the show.